The Color, written by Rose Tremaine and read by Eleanor Braun.
Part 1. The Cobb House, 1864. 1. The coldest winds came from the south, and the Cobb House had been built in the pathway of the winds. Joseph Blackstone lay awake at night. He wondered whether he should dismantle the house and reconstruct it in a different place, lower down in the valley where it would be sheltered. He dismantled it in his mind. He rebuilt it in his mind in the lee of a gentle hill. But he said nothing and did nothing. Days passed and weeks, and the winter came, and the Cobb House remained where it was, in the pathway of the annihilating winds. It was their first winter. The earth under their boots was grey. The yellow tussock grass was salty with hail. In the violet clouds of afternoon lay the promise of a great winding sheet of snow. Joseph's mother, Lillian, sat at the wooden table, wearing a bonnet against the chill in the room, mending china. China broken on its shipment from England. "Broken by carelessness," said Lillian Blackstone, "by inept loading and unloading, by the disregard of people who did not know the value of personal possessions." Joseph reminded her gently that you could not travel across the world to its very furthest other side and not expect something to be broken on the way. "Something," snapped Lillian. "But this is a great deal more than something." Her furious voice dismayed him. He watched her with a kind of familiar dread. She seemed lost in the puzzle of the china, as though she were unable to remember the shape of ordinary things. She kept moving pieces around and around, like letters which refused to form a word. Only occasionally did she suddenly discover where something fitted and dare to smear a shard with glue. Then she would press this shard into place with a kind of passionate, unnecessary ardour, and her lips would move in what might have been a prayer, or might have been a silent utterance of the only French word in Lillian Blackstone's vocabulary, voila, which she pronounced voila. And what Joseph saw in all of this was an affirmation of what he already knew, that by bringing his mother here to New Zealand he had failed her, just as he had always and always failed her. He had tried all his life, or so it seemed to him, to please her. But he couldn't remember any single day when he had pleased her enough. But now he had a wife. She was tall and her hair was brown. Her name was Harriet Salt. Of her, Lillian Blackstone had remarked, "She carries herself well." And Joseph found this observation accurate and more acute than Lillian could know. He turned away from his mother and looked admiringly at this new wife of his, kneeling by the reluctant fire. And he felt his heart suddenly fill to its very core with gratitude and affection. He watched her working the bellows, patient and still, carrying herself well, even here in the Cobb House, in this cold and smoky room, even here with the wind sighing outside and the smell of glue like some potent medicine all three of them were now obliged to take. Joseph wanted to cross the room and put his arms round Harriet and gather her hair into a knot in his hand. He wanted to lay his head on her shoulder and tell her the one thing that he would never be able to admit to her, that she had saved his life.